Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
In John's vision in the book of Revelation, he saw Christians in tribulation dealing with great persecution. This book also tells us that Jesus, the Lamb of God, will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 7 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola uncovers five important truths as he completes his study of verses 13 through 17.
The fact that there is going to be a rebuilt temple, along with sections of Scripture like Romans 9 through 11, any of the major or minor Old Testament prophets, proves that God is not through with the Jew. God is not through with the physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are a very, very key part of understanding Bible prophecy. So here in Revelation 11, the temple on earth. But we read here in Revelation 7:15, and then eight other places in the Revelation, there is a scene where it is described, where what is being described is the temple in heaven. So there is a distinction between the temple in heaven and the temple on earth. Now you may be asking this morning, well, big deal. Maybe not, probably not. But here's the point. The temple in heaven. Heaven, my friends, is a real place. Some people have tried to sell us the idea that heaven is a state of mind. It's a figure of speech. It's not a real place. It's some kind of a nirvana. You know, it's nebulous. It's not real. It's what you call something that is exciting or thrilling. Heaven, according to the Bible, is a real place. It's more real than this building that we are meeting in this morning. You know, Jesus said these words, "I go to prepare a figment of imagination for you. I go to prepare a Greek word, topos, a real place for you." And in heaven right now, this present place that we call heaven, there is a real temple of God in heaven. There are real people in heaven. There are real angels in heaven. And from this temple in heaven, the sovereign almighty God rules and reigns and governs his universe. Now, where is it? I've got in my library some commentaries who tell me exactly where heaven is. Believe that? Well, when I read them, got my checklist. Well, this is where it isn't. This is where it isn't. This is where it isn't. Because any attempts to locate heaven in this universe are futile. And that's because heaven, even though it is a real place, it exists on God's map. It's not on the astronomer's charts. But it is a real place. That's a place where I am going, you are going, we are going as the redeemed of the Lord. But the Bible says so much about the temple. We know that when we go into the eternal state, Revelation 21 and 22, that there is a temple there, but it is not a temple as is described elsewhere in the Scripture. Revelation 21, 22 says, "And I saw no temple therein," that is in the New Jerusalem, "for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of that place." So when we step into eternity, our temple is going to be the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. Do you ever wonder what are you going to do when you get to heaven? Well, we know that you're not going to grow wings. You're not going to look like a little cherub. Sad look on your face and play a harp. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? I mean, what do you do when you get there? Fly around? Well, the Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 3, we're going to serve the Lord. Revelation 22, 4, we're going to see his face. Revelation 22, 5, we shall reign with him forever and ever. That's what you and I are going to be doing forever. We're going to be holding the face, the glory, the beauty of our Lord forever and ever. We're going to be serving Him. We're going to be reigning Him. Now, I don't know. I don't understand how it's going to take place, but the Bible says it, and that's what you and I are going to be doing. Looking into His face, beholding His glory, serving Him, and reigning with Him. The temple. Does God have a temple now? If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Right there. Right there. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So you and I, as a regenerated, redeemed sinner, we are a temple of the Holy Ghost. How precious is that? God dwells in us. But the Bible says even more about this temple. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, we are told that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. So not only are we the temple of God individually, but we, along with any believer in Christ, in this church age, collectively, we are collectively the temple of the Lord. Regardless of what our denomination affiliation is, all who are regenerated and born again, we collectively are the temple of God, fitly framed together to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Well, back to Revelation 7, 16 and 17, we read of these tribulation saints. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. That literally means He will tend to them as a shepherd, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And so, having gone through a great portion of the tribulation period, through the time of famine, polluted waters, these tribulation saints will have experienced, no doubt, a tremendous hunger and thirst. Notice it says, the sun shall not light on them. In Revelation 16, we read that God will give to the sun power to scorch men who dwell upon the earth. And so, here are some saints that have gone through some terrific things on earth, but in heaven, all of those things are over. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In reading Revelation, I'm struck by how many things are mentioned that we experience here on earth that we will never experience again. Heaven will be the absence of many things that trouble us on earth. No more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no defilement, no curse. You want to go, don't you? What a picture this is. Jesus, the Lamb, in the midst of the throne, feeding these tribulation martyrs, leading them to living fountains of waters, wiping away all tears from their eyes. I'm going to mention that in a moment. God wiping away all tears from your eyes. Imagine God wiping away your tears. We've all experienced the comfort of loved ones wiping away our tears. How wonderful that is. Imagine when we stand before God, and He takes us individually and wipes away our tears. Well, I want to give to you five practical truths from this heavenly scene for us today. And if you're taking notes, they all begin with the letter P, okay? Five practical truths. Number one, propitiation. This heavenly scene is composed of people whose sins are forgiven because their souls have been washed and made white by the blood of the Lamb. We read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he, that is Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, we read, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This word propitiation can also be translated atoning sacrifice. And this word propitiation speaks of the value that the Father places on the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. How there on the cross, he died for our sin. There on the cross, Jesus satisfied the justice and wrath of God that we deserve. And by doing so, he now opens the door of salvation by grace to all and any sinner that would repent and trust in him today. And maybe that's you. You know nothing at all about being regenerated and made new by the Spirit of God. You do not know Christ is Lord and Savior. And if that's you, the Bible says that when a person repents of their sin and calls upon the name of the Lord, he forgives us. He cancels that debt of sin. And we are then made righteous, but it's not a righteousness that we earn or deserve. It is what the Bible calls an imputed righteousness. It's a righteousness that is given to us. It is the righteousness of Christ, and we become right with God through faith in what Jesus has done. He is our propitiation, our sacrifice. He is our righteousness. And so there is propitiation. Number two, presence. In this heavenly scene, he's dwelling among his people. In the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 13, we've already read, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. That's the attire of the high priest. But the seven candlesticks are the church. And here, Jesus is portrayed as being in the midst of his people, the church. One of the most important disciplines in the Christian life, both personally and congregational life, is that of cultivating a sense of the presence of the risen Lord Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 28, that in him we live and move and have our being. One of the most important disciplines is cultivating the sense of the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that will affect the way you live radically. When you and I live with a consciousness of the presence of God, it's going to affect how we think, how we speak, how we act, the choices that we make. Cultivating a sense of the presence of God is one of the most important things for you and me to do. Because we're living in the time that is known as the time of former things, it is good to know that Jesus is faithful and true. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter how dark things may get, no matter how impossible the situation may be, Jesus is always there with you. He's the only one who can guarantee always being with you. No human being can promise you that, but you can always be sure of his presence. And so we have propitiation, we have presence, and number three, provision, the provision of the Lord. It says here, he shall feed them and lead them to living fountains of water. I think of the woman of the well, the man that was sick of the palsy, and how when Jesus ministered to them, he ministered to their spiritual need first. Now, the needs that you and I have today, those physical needs, maybe you need to be anointed with oil for a physical situation. Maybe there are other needs, real needs, relational needs, employment needs. And if that be the case, I would urge you in the name of the Lord to bring those needs before the Lord in prayer today. They're real needs. But one of the things that occurred to me this week in studying is that we often find ourselves seeking things from the Lord, don't we? Lord, I need this. I come to you for that. And those are real. The Bible says, cast all of your care upon him. But something occurred to me this week that I thought was really, really precious from the Lord. Yes, we do have those needs. They're real needs. But the greatest need that we have is to draw closer to the Lord. Remember when Jesus performed the miracle of the loaves and fishes? The people were coming to him because he had provided for them bread. Remember what Jesus said? Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that the Son of Man will give to you. And then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. So many times we go to the Lord for this thing or that thing, when really what we need to do is go to the Lord himself. If you're hungry this morning, beloved, Jesus is the bread of life. If you're thirsty, he is the fountain of living water. In fact, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is all that you need and will be all that you need. And inasmuch as we are filled with Christ, because you see, he can answer this thing or that thing, but if we are not being filled with him, then we're going to go away empty. Our greatest need, our greatest provision is Jesus himself. Not what we get from him, but him himself. So we have propitiation, presence, provision, and then privilege. Privilege. The privilege of the people of God. They're standing before his throne and they're serving him day and night. You and I are given the privilege of standing before the Lord and serving him every day and every night. Now we all know too well, we're all acquainted with the mundane day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year stuff. It's so common, isn't it? You wake up in the morning and you just go to work. And you wake up in the same old household with the same old spouse and the same old children. And you put on the same old clothes and you go to the same old job. And then on Sunday morning, you come, if this is your home or if you're visiting us, you go to your same old church. You pull in the parking lot and you see the same old parking lot attendants waving to you. I want to park here. And then you see the same old greeters. And then you come walking in here and you hear the same old worship band. And you hear the same old pastor and the same old this and the same old that. And your Christianity becomes more like a life sentence. It's the same old. It's the same old. It's the same old. That's a rut, isn't it? Here in heaven, those that are there are serving him day and night. And may I suggest to you, saints, that every day and every week, you and I are given wonderful promises and a privilege of serving the Lord in our home, in our families, on our job, in the church. What a revolution would take place if when we gather here on Sunday, it's not the same old, same old. You come hungry, you come thirsty, you come excited, you come to worship, you come to listen, you come to serve. Wow! Usually it's, whoa, what a privilege we have to serve the Lord. Earlier this week, reading my Bible at night, these verses jumped out of the pages. Romans 14, 7 and 8. For none of us live for himself, and no man dies for himself. For whether we live for the Lord, and whether we die for the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. In other words, those of us who have been born again, regenerated, we belong to the Lord, and we were redeemed to serve him. Where? Everywhere. How long? Until he takes us home, and then we're going to be serving him in heaven. Wherever we go, whatever we are, we're servants of the living God. We're made to be seen. Lights are seen. We're made to be tasted. Salt is tasted. We get to do this, guys, week after week. Isn't that great? You look thrilled. We get to do this every week. We get to come. We get to worship. We get to serve. We get to do these things. We get to do these things for Christ, for his glory. This isn't just coming to church, punch in, punch out, go home. Keep your bulletin so when you get to heaven, God knows you showed up. It's more than that, isn't it? Much more than that. We leave here. We serve the Lord at home. We serve the Lord wherever we are. We get to do this. And we get together. We get to sing. We get to worship. We get to encourage one another. We get to do this. So, we have propitiation, presence, provision, privilege, promise. What's the promise? The promise is that God says he's going to wipe away all tears. You see, you and I presently are living in the age that is called in our text in Revelation 21, anyways, the age of former things. Every one of you and those who paint the Christian life as nothing but smiles and giggles and I don't know where you live and I don't know what Bible you're reading. That the joy of the Lord is there, no doubt. The goodness of the Lord. But we cry as Christians, don't we? Everybody in here and everybody in heaven has a story. One was persecuted. One was sick. One was forgotten. One was abandoned. One was mistreated. One was bereaved of a lost child. One lived through a divorce. Another suffered physically for years. All kinds of tears. All kinds of tears for different reasons. It could be something as harmless as, you know, you work out, you're working with the high school team, the college team, you're working, and it's down to the last cut, and the coach says you didn't make the team. Now, because you're a guy, you can't cry in front of everyone else. You go, all right, coach. Then you get in your car. Ah! I'm gone, I didn't make the team. Right? Yeah. Some of you didn't make the team, huh? Tears of disappointment, tears of loss, phone call, they're gone. What do you mean they're gone? What do you mean they're gone? Tears of physical pain? How about at a funeral? There's not been a funeral that I've gone where I have not heard people talking about regrets. I should have. Why didn't I? I could have. You know what that teaches me? I need to dwell with the ones that are near me and you guys as if you were to die today. You don't want to go to heaven with any regrets. Tears. And then there's tears of joy. Tears of joy. There's sometimes we've done water baptisms and there's been more water outside of the pond or the pool than inside. The Bible says that when a sinner repents and turns to Christ, heaven rejoices. Those are good tears. Tears, crying. I thank the Lord. I truly thank the Lord for brothers and sisters in Christ who he has used to counsel and console me and you guys all through the years. The Bible says, weep with those that weep. That's what we should be doing. That the one who will wipe away all tears then is the very same one who will comfort you and wipe away those tears that you may be crying now, today. Not finally, but the same one who will finally wipe away all tears. He'll wipe away your tears today. Now, I don't know if you think like this, but I think, how is God going to do? Not how is he going to wipe away our tears. What is that going to be like? And I have this picture in my mind that God takes every one of us aside and we are flowing with tears and he takes that nail-scarred hand and he wipes away. It's a good thing that he's giving us a new body and he's telling us that you're not going to cry anymore. Because if tears were to be permitted, there would be a pool, there would be an ocean under this redeemed sinner. He's going to wipe them away. Raymond, you're home. It's done. You've run the race. Finish the course. It's done, son. It's over. You see, that makes what you and I go through now endurable. We're just not doing things, enduring things for the sake of doing or enduring. We're doing them with a purpose because we know we're going to a real place. We're going to see a real God and a real Savior. And we're going to be serving him and worshiping him forever.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for our Wednesday evening service at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. This Sunday, please join us at 10 a.m. for our special Church in the Park service at Edmund Lyon Park, which is adjacent to our church parking lot. Please bring your own seating. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.